Canucks Central Monday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. Not here. It's Bick Nizar in for Satyar Shah on a Thanksgiving Monday. What's happening, Bick?
Nice fake out.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a good... I meant to do that.
What are you guys talking about? That's how I planned it. I have it written in my notes.
That's a major broadcaster faux pas to be like, oh, you screwed up. I'm going to slow the show down. The other one that we do is when we say great segue.
Yeah.
You stop the segue to acknowledge a great segue. We're like, let's just ruin this great segue to talk about the great segue.
Yeah. Well, now we're moving on. I'm allowed one of those today.
At least
I used it up in the first 13 seconds of the show.
Mulligan on the first hole.
Yeah. Josh, is he like that? Is he like that on the team?
Can I get a breakfast ball? Can we restart the show?
I mean, we're all like that, though.
Okay.
Fair enough.
You know the idea of a breakfast ball, actually? You're supposed to, like, if you call for a breakfast ball, that just, like, ends your round. You're like, okay, I'm done. That's my round. And then you're, like, throwing the scorecard in the books.
What?
And then you restart your next round.
That's what it's supposed to be?
Yes.
Oh.
Why?
You're the guy that
breakfast
reads the
ball.
Rules.
That's a bad name for...
I feel like Reach is the one that reads the rules to the board game. He's like, you know what, guys? We got to make sure we get this right.
Has anybody ever read the actual rules to Monopoly? I feel like No. Because everybody has their own set of rules for Monopoly.
I think I made the same joke like 3 weeks ago with Sat.
I definitely... I was like, Bick just said this.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But I don't
blame
you.
It's a Central thing.
Must be. Me and Randeep had this debate many, many eons ago. Anyways, he had no idea that you get the jackpot if you land in the free parking. I don't know. It's weird.
No, that's not a thing.
It totally is a thing.
No, I think that's a house rule.
The money in the middle for free parking? Yeah, that's a house rule.
Yeah, that's a house rule.
But it's a very popular house rule.
As someone that has apparently read the rules of Monopoly.
All right, 650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. You want to get in on the fun, you can do so there. If you happen to be listening live, we appreciate you. Hope you're having a great Thanksgiving weekend. The Bridge Street Dunbar Lumber in Ladner has moved to Progress Way in Tilbury's Industrial Park. More room, more product, more awesome. Details at dunbarlumber.com. All right, Canucks off to an 0-0-2 start. They're heading out on a four-game roadie through the Southeast United States and then finishing in Chicago next week. Let's get into it with the Open.
Welcome to the Open.
Oh! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
Yes, it's the Open, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And the latest is the Canucks are trying to get in the win column after blowing third period leads in each of their first two games of the season, something they haven't done since Bruce Boudreau was head coach, which was just 2 years ago for those keeping track. And it's not like, I don't feel there's any real reason to panic with this team. I don't know if you would call it, On Twitter, I called it red flags, as I asked some of our listeners if they see any red flags through the first two games. But maybe it's more caution flags. Like, are you throwing a yellow flag at anything to say, this is something I want to keep an eye on? Mm-hmm. And this is something that is at least somewhat raising a level of concern for me. And that's where we're heading with this today. And I actually want to start it with what Rick Tocchet said after Saturday's practice, because I don't think there's anything too deep we can read into how the games played out, right? It is early season. Things are still sloppy. They only had one preseason game fully together, and even then they weren't fully together because Garland didn't play in that final preseason game. I think there's not a ton you can read into stylistic play, tactical play, but this, to me, was super interesting from what Rick Tocchet had to say about how these first two games have gone.
Yeah, for me, it's simple things. It's changes. I don't like our changes this year. It's overextended. Guys are staying out there for 50 seconds. It's just we're doing stuff that we didn't do last year for the majority of the time. Now, like I said, maybe it's not being together in camp. The second game, maybe a little bit of success last year. You're coming a little bit lazier. I don't know. I mean, I'm not pointing fingers at the players, but it's a game too. both winnable games. I mean, you know, we had the lead going into the third period, and we gave it up. So that's something we got to work on. But I do believe we have to make sure we get to our staples really quick. You know, we got to start going through people. I don't think we're battling as hard as we should. But like I said, it's early, and we got to get to it. So that's my take right now in these early parts of the season.
So there's Rick Tocchet after the Saturday practice, and there's a lot there. Like, Tocchet doesn't often get or show how upset he is, but I don't know. There feels like a level of he's perturbed at how these first two games have played out.
Yeah, I think whenever that staple word comes out, you know, my ears just kind of perk up. It's like, okay, it's something that's breaking their, I don't say commandments, but they're yeah, staples, right? And there's certain things he absolutely wants to see all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he referenced it earlier there, I think he in the whole scrum about line changes.
Yeah.
Right? That was one of the first things he said when he first arrived back in January 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Was like, yeah, some of these line changes. And when you start hearing staples, like, are they living up to that? I think when those things are being met, that criteria, he's less concerned about the results because it'll solve itself based on the talent that they have and following the staples. But if you're not following those, yeah, then there's things to be worked on.
Well, that's where, you know, giving up the third period leads, reading between the lines of what Tocchet's saying, is it's self-inflicted. It's not like other teams are forcing us into mistakes. We're making these mm-hmm. mistakes on our own. These are unforced errors to a certain level. Like, that's not to say that the Flyers didn't work it around well in the offensive zone before Cam York scored the tying goal in the third period on Friday, but self-inflicted wounds where you're not making those changes regularly, eventually it's going to catch up with you. And the other part of this that stood out to me, because we had talked about it 2 years ago when Bruce Boudreau was going through that really tough start to the season where they blew all those third period leads. It was almost like the Canucks, like, the feeling was they just expected to show up in October and, like,
unfinished business.
Yeah, the unfinished business, like how great they finished with that first half season and a bit, 106 point pace with Bruce Boudreau, was just going to, like, magically continue as if the months in between didn't exist. Like, the ball was just going to keep rolling. And that there was that feeling about it that, maybe arrogance is too strong of a word, but, you know, that they figured it all out and it was just going to continue happening the same way that it did in the past. So to hear Rick Tocchet bring that up, even though he's not going too far down that road in his commentary, I thought was interesting. So we're getting back to the practice habits and the line changes of the conversation. It just feels like there's a level of sharpness and a standard he expects from this team that maybe we haven't quite seen yet to this point of the season.
Yeah, but the thing is that they had the ninth best points pace under Rick Tocchet in 33 games.
Yeah.
And they came into last season and That's were fair. Strong to start the season. Now, mind you, they had 4 points after four games
mm-hmm.
last year, right? They go out on the road and they lose those two, including one to Philly. And we didn't feel as rosy after four games. This year, we're feeling that after two games, but it's also 500. It's exactly where they were four games into the season. So, again, it's maybe different this year based on expectations, because you think, hey, they're going to be a prominent team in the West, certainly across the league, and there's an opportunity to go win the Stanley Cup, and it should be steady the whole way through. Yeah, like, there are things that do stand out, of course. And I look at most of the new guys, to be honest. I know there's focus on Patterson, and we'll chat about a lot of this stuff, but for me, it's some of the new guys don't look as integrated as you would expect, as connected to the rest of the group. I think that's another staple there for Tocchet, being connected. And
again, well, the Sprong experiment is not going well so far.
Yeah, in the role. You're getting what you pay for.
Yeah.
But in the role that you're putting him in, yeah, it's had its lumps, obviously. But I do look at it as my two concerns, a red flag here, is what's the integration for the new guys, and why aren't the best players driving it right now?
Well, that's really where I guess there's a little bit of a continuation from the playoffs there, where the Canucks stars got outplayed
mm-hmm.
in the Edmonton series, and that ultimately ends up deciding that series towards the end of it. And you come out this season, and look, they scored on the power play in the first game. I know Besser's second goal technically is 5-on-5, but came right as a power play was expiring. So it still felt like very much a power play goal. Other than that, the top six has not carried play. They've not driven play the way that you would expect them to. I think I've seen moments of interesting chemistry between Pettersson and DeBrusk, but it hasn't amounted to enough. Obviously, the third wheel on that line was having a tough go and has been having a tough go through the first two games, and we may very well not see Daniel Sprong there for a while now. But these are some of the things that I know JT Miller and Elias Pettersson are going to get going eventually. But yeah, that plays a big part into how these first two games have not gone the way that you would expect them to, because, you know, the game on Friday, if the top six is going, Philly's like, that game's out of reach for Philly.
Easy.
Right? And that's, especially with the way that the Bluger line played, you know, there's the glass half full approach. Is like, hey, maybe they found something in the bottom six there with Bluger and Sherwood and how well they played in that second game. If you get the top six going, well, now you've got something brewing with this forward group.
It's also the stretches where, and it was more pronounced in the Philly game, where it was in winning time, right? Where we're talking about third period tie game, they went a 7-minute stretch. And this is where you look at the top six and saying, like, where's the chance generation? You got your goal from Hoglander, you got your goal from Bluger. The depth has contributed. And, you know, Sprong on game one is the one that gets the goal in the second unit. They obviously succeed on the power play, but Garland's the one that gets the goal there. JT rescues it late to get a point. But, you know, overall, they had a stretch in the first game where they weren't pedal to the metal. It was 9 shots in the final 40 minutes. So just looking at that chance generation right now, and even if something as basic as shot attempts, that doesn't feel like it's threatening enough. And I know it's not, you know, exactly their MO.
Yeah.
But these stretches, prolonged stretches, it's not even really creating zone time here.
So even in the first game, they had 3 shots in the second period, and they, midway through the third, I guess once Calgary tied the game and took the lead, they only had 3 shots on goal.
Yeah.
Halfway through the third period. Wasn't great. Some of that continued against the Philadelphia Flyers, as you mentioned. And one interesting thing that I looked up stats-wise, because I got to say, Saturday night, it was like, man, this is happening again where they're missing the net, they're getting a ton of shots blocked, and it seems like a theme that's carried over from the playoffs and even going back a little bit further, the second half of last season. And sure enough, Canucks have 33 shots on goal at 5-on-5 on 96 attempts. Mm-hmm. So you're hitting the net on 1/3 of your attempts, essentially. And that has led to the second lowest shots on goal per 60 minutes in the entire National Hockey League to this point.
I will say they were 4th lowest last year. Now, the number, you said 1/3, right?
Yeah.
The number last year was like 47%. And it was something I discussed quite a bit last year, because it was Quinn Hughes that was doing such a great job of getting his shot through. But yeah, they're the lowest mark in the season at 1/3.
Yep.
You know, most teams live in around 45 to 53, somewhere around that range. Sometimes you're going to have a good year, sometimes you're going to have a bad year with it. But it's in and around that range. Through 2 games, that is aggressively low, obviously. Yeah. And it needs to improve pretty soon.
And it's something to monitor, right? Because again, it's just 2 games. It could just be an anomaly, right? It could be a lack of sharpness, could be a few things contributing to this factor. But our team's defending the Canucks differently, knowing that they were a team that likes to get point shots and get traffic in front, look for those tips, look for those rebounds. They scored so many goals, did that at such a great clip last year, especially against Hughes and Hronek. Are they defending them higher in the zone? Now, that's something I imagine Quinn Hughes will look at that puzzle or that riddle and figure out how to solve it. No problem, because he's Quinn freaking Hughes, and that's what a top 10 player in the league actually does. So I'm not too worried about it, but again, it is something to monitor, given that it became an issue for this team through the second half of last season.
I brought this up after game one because there was a lot of focus on Desharnais and Forbert. And, you know, for me, if we're trying to remedy the situation, and obviously those players need to handle themselves, and Forbert and Desharnais. But to me, the thing that stood out is Hughes and Hronek did not dominate like we saw in the early part of the season.
Yeah.
Right. When the tempo's high, you think, okay, this is where Quinn Hughes is going to thrive because players can't sustain that level when the tempo is played that high. And he is so slick and he can obviously skate in any which direction at whatever speed he wants and manipulate the game, and players aren't going to be able to keep up. But the thing that's alarming to me is that that's still through two games now. It doesn't feel like we've seen that same ice tilt from Hughes Hronek that we saw. Now, mind you, we're talking about the first, you know, 25 games. Honestly, probably even into January last year, that hasn't happened here. And even if last year we point out the reason, it doesn't feel like Hronik's healthy. They weren't doing that twist at the top as often as they were. Hronek obviously wasn't shooting. But have we seen that once to begin the year? It's something that they felt like they engineered and they had great chemistry with it. Doesn't feel like we've been seeing that so far to begin the year.
What I find interesting about this, expected goals, great for Hughes Hronek so far through two games. But again, I don't disagree with your point. Is this eye test versus actuality thing happening out here? I think there's another level that they can get to, like that we saw them at last year, that they haven't been quite as sharp.
And we chatted so much about Hughes Hronek. I was like, finally, the audition of the four games is done, whatever that looked like. And now we get to see what Hughes Hronek looked like. They were captivating. It was hard to take their eyes off of them. And it just looks static from those two right now.
And, you know, that slip and slide move that they would do, the crisscrossing at the top of the zone, teams changed how they started to defend it. They went more into zone so they wouldn't get crossed up trying to follow around man on man. And so we saw teams gameplay plan for Hughes and Hronek on the ice a little bit differently as the season went on. These are the adjustments you're going to have to make, you know, when teams are scouting you that much more closely because now you're considered one of the top teams in the league. Their game plans are getting a little bit more fine-tuned against the Vancouver Canucks these days, and that is also happening. I do want to get to Elias Pettersson because
of course we do.
Yeah, the guy just can't escape being a part of the conversation here. And Rick Tocchet commented about Pettersson on Saturday, who went on early at practice, stayed out late as well. And here's what Rick Tocchet had to say about Pettersson's game, where it's at, and how he took on practice Saturday.
Yeah, no, he came out early with us 20 minutes before with myself and the Twins and Kroger, our skills coach. Just got to work out some certain parts of his game. I think he... it's one of his better practices day, and I think there's some reasons for it. I think today was going out early, working on his game. I think he's going to have that approach now for a while, and that'll get his confidence. So, we have a plan with him, and just chip away at his game.
I try not to read too much into a quote, but it is
you fail trying.
It is alarmingly hard to do that when Rick Tocchet gives us what he often does. And I don't think he's saying anything bad about Pettersson, but he's going to have that approach for a while here. I guess, you know, carrying on from Saturday, clearly not too in love with the way that Pettersson has played to this point of the season, wanting to see more and appreciating that he's taking the time to work on his game, because it hasn't been there. And, you know, to say that he'll gain confidence from practice, you know, it kind of wonders, it makes me wonder where Pettersson's practice habits have been to start this season.
That feels harsh, man.
It might be a stretch.
No, the thing
it
is,
might be a stretch.
You do gain confidence from practice. Like, that's where it's supposed to start. That's the environment where you control.
Yes.
So that to me is just more a generic platitude that a coach is saying about practice.
Okay, that's fair.
Rather than directly like, hey, you know what? We got a real issue.
This
guy doesn't show up here for practice.
I'll back down and say... that may be just me reading too much into the quote.
As Johnny Bubula, you know, texts in, we talking about practice? Yeah, look, I get it. We're harping on an extended stretch here. But, you know, one of the things, too, is I think, I don't know if it's body language, whatever it is, I think there's a thought from Canucks fans that it doesn't look like he cares.
Right.
And if that's how you feel, okay, that's how you feel. It gets knocked over, all this sort of stuff, whatever. You know, two things I think of when I think of does a guy care is defense.
Mm-hmm.
He puts in work defensively.
Yep.
He's helped out on the PK. Now I know we'll chat about Saturday, but like he's stopped back post passes. He stopped threatening moves. He's putting in work defensively. And then we're all admitting that he's not as strong as he should be as far as performing. There's plenty more to come, but I'll recognize that he's in a slump.
Yeah.
At least he's showing up early to practice to go through it. If you didn't care, yeah, sure. I'll just...
If you're...
Coach, what time's practice? Cool. What time are we leaving? Cool.
Yeah. If you're like, oh, I got my big paycheck, now I'm good, then you're not doing that, mm-hmm. right? You're not coming in early, staying out late, and...
There's a recognition that something needs to improve.
Yes.
Even if he's not saying it, and he's got to come out and say... The actions speak louder than the words.
Declined an interview with IMAC post practice on Saturday, mm-hmm. as IMAC wrote in his Canucks notebook, which you can find at sportsnet.ca. Like, I don't think Pettersson has been awful through the first two games.
No.
But the expectation is super high coming off of last year and the contract.
Yeah, I'm not denying he's got to improve.
That's totally fair.
He's absolutely got to improve.
Yeah.
But my expectation of will he improve has not changed at all. And if it means gaining confidence from practice, then okay, gain confidence from practice. Put in the work. And at least that's something I look at and say, okay, it can turn the corner. Because if there's an understanding that has to improve and the coaching staff has shown, when they invest in players, they will improve.
All right, let's quickly get through the Canucks Central Roundup before Don Taylor joins us here on a Thanksgiving Monday. The lines at practice today from Sportsnet Murph looked like this. JT Miller with Brock Besser and Arshdeep Bains. Elias Pettersson with Danton Heinen and Jake DeBrusk, which is something we saw at practice on Saturday as well. Ratu with Hoglander and Garland. Good to see Garland back at practice. He took a couple of days off after the Friday game. Blueger with Sherwood and Suter, which was the Canucks going away best line on Friday night against Philly. Daniel Sprong worked as the extra. Defense was all rotating. Tyler Myers was back with the practice group today. Tockett says there's still a little something there from the big collision he took in the game on Friday, but he's feeling good. Wouldn't say if he'll be playing tomorrow against Tampa.
What an unreal development, right? Because it looked tough on Saturday yeah. night.
It makes you really look at the Canucks depth chart differently. Like, is Myers out for the year? Because... now you're running Desharnais and Juulsen in your second and third pair.
And you'd have to increase the urgency on an external transaction, obviously. Yeah. But suddenly it's like, okay, even if it's just, look, he's out for the road trip.
Yeah.
He's on the road trip, but he's not playing.
He's day-to-day.
At least you can just, whew. All right, we can get through five games with this.
I guess the super interesting part here is Daniel Sprong.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not too interesting, given, you know, he's had a couple of big defensive miscues in the first two games. Did have the goal in the first game, but, you know, the one on Friday essentially leads to the second goal, right? The tying goal. And not that he's the only culprit, but as Tockett mentions post-game, if he just stays on the rail, like, we probably get out of that fine. And that's, you know, one of the staples that Tockett is not going to live up with. And Sprong, I mean, even going back to preseason, the final game against Edmonton, he got stuck as the low forward in the defensive zone. And I just went back and watched that shift, and it was just like, whew, it's an adventure in his own end, man. And like, if you haven't learned these things by the time you're 27, 28, real question is, are you ever going to be able to figure this out and really make these proper reads in the defensive zone?
Or even just show a baseline threshold. I'm not asking him to be a Selke winner, right? It's, do you show enough flashes of defensive competency?
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, defense is always how do five players work to get the one puck rather than how does one guy go win the puck?
Yeah.
And he feels like he lives in the second reality of what do I have to do to go win this puck? And how do I prove that I'm strong defensively?
Yeah.
And when you start doing that, rather than working with your teammates, you're going to find yourself out of position.
Yeah.
And that Cam Yorkel is the one that looks like...
He's doing too much,
it's
right?
It's doing way too much.
He just vacates a space that he needs to be in, in order to block a Flyers player from doing damage. And that's the kind of thing that can't happen. Tocchet was noncommittal today on how they will handle goalie split for now. So we don't know who's going tomorrow. Is it going to be Lankinen again? Of course, there is Shelovs, who played last Wednesday. You don't want to keep him on the shelf too long. We'll see how they manage this road trip. They do not have a back-to-back. Four-game road trip. Starting tomorrow at Tampa, at Florida, at Philly, at Chicago. And then one interesting note, no Barkov or Matthew Tkachuk for the Panthers on Thursday against the Canucks. Panthers were 4-3 winners today over Boston.
There's an opportunity for you all of a sudden. And I think Panthers play tomorrow as well in Columbus.
So it'll be a third and four nights coming back from a road trip for Florida.
Plenty of scheduling and roster advantages for Vancouver going into that game. Which is still two games away.
But. Yeah. Despite that being like game against the defending Stanley Cup champs in their home barn, it's setting up for the Canucks to be able to win that game. Tomorrow I'm more worried about, because generally the first game on an Eastern road swing is a tough one for any Western Conference team. All right. Coming up, Don Taylor is going to join us. Donnie and Dolly, 10 to noon on Czech TV. We'll wish him a happy Thanksgiving. Get his take on the Canucks start to the season. That's next on Canucks Central.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there. Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drans. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.